Network.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Perception Management. Today's date is 7/21 of 2019. And if you haven't caught it, perception management is a term originated by the U.S. military. Perception is defined as a process by which individuals select, organize, interpret, and input to their senses to give a meaning and order to the world around them. Components of perception include the perceiver, target of perception, and the situation. So, tonight's show. As you know, I'm Keith Rogers here, and I'm located here in beautiful western Montana, where it's currently 79 degrees outside. This is a new show. It's kind of off of a spin-off of my old one there on Frequency with Keith Rogers. But I dedicate this to the listeners who actually care about their fellow man, one's personal morals, and if you're as old as I am, you'll have personally witnessed a change in this country that has for decades gotten worse. And I know the government and corporations on purpose depress the economy to make it so jobs are hard to find. Saddled with mass student loans, many will join the military, who offers to pay off these student loans as well as to increase your training in some special field. However, everyone that I ever known that has joined the military has gone from that promise right from boot camp to the battlefield. And it's your luck if you return, so... Anyway, I have no problem with those who have proudly served this country. America is worth it. We all know that. But also, as the scriptures say, some may make some false steps before they become full aware of it. And morals then dictate what a person will allow in their conscience. I've highlighted the active duty and veterans who have daily, sadly, commit suicide. It's tragic for their loss, not only for this country, but also for their loved ones. But like driving a vehicle, I remember my wife once saying to me, that the check engine light was on her car. And I asked her, had you checked the oil or fluids? To which she said, you have to check them? So, imagine saying that this country for some time has had that little vehicle and that little check engine light has been on. Each day you see it as you start out. The attention's needed. But what do you do about it? So that brings me out to see how I actually see life and the world in general. I'm a proud realist. I hold no political party above others, as I equally hate both. I only care about the lives of others and others that I have seen for decades that have sadly declined, that I have personally witnessed, which both parties, whether it's Democrat or Republican, have done to enrich their own portfolios. The old saying, friends don't let friends drive drunk. It's the same as if I myself responded to a traffic accident here in Montana, and I watched as someone was making the wrong choices. I always speak up for all those who can't, and I show the other side of what most people won't say. Some are blinded by a patriotism or statism. This drilled-in American exceptionalism that you always hear, those like Pence and those going to West Point to just drill into we'll be going to different theaters. Could be Russia, could be Venezuela. You know, they're always pushing these different theaters when we have so much wrong here at home. However, before tonight's show, I wanted to highlight a couple things from last week I mentioned there. The entitlement reform that Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs had mentioned was a recipe to pay more and expect less. And on top of that, Goldman Sachs ask in biotech research report, is caring patients a sustainable model? And we see how these corporations work as well as the bankers. Informed readers probably weren't surprised to learn that in Montana now, the hospitals charge private insurers 2 to 4 times what Medicare judges to be a fair price for services. Believe me, I've been taxed with my own medical issues for over 2 years now, longer than that, but the latest one was from botched surgery there. But anyway, anyone on Medicare who looks into this health care bills can see there's a big difference between what hospital bills, you know, to Medicare, and what they deem for the most reasonable services. And of course, nowadays it's constant repeat, back and forth, which costs the patient more and more in gas and other things, as well as copays. This article here is from the Bozeman Daily Chronicle here. But it says the report that identified these disparities highlights just how broken our healthcare system is when it comes to pricing. This should be shocking for some. The report outlined in July 14 Chronicle was produced by the RAND Corporation. This is also the one that produces the one on suicide deaths in the U.S. military between the ages of 18 to 34. It examined the billing practices of over 1,600 hospitals in 25 states and found that, on average, Montana hospitals charge private insurers 277% of what Medicare judges to be reasonable. Of the 25 states, Montana had the fifth largest disparity between what is charged private insurers and what Medicare pays. Healthcare prices issues can't be ignored. So, another story I thought was interesting here. I have some big news here, so I'm trying to run through here because I'm going to be running out of time. I only have an hour now. I should have stolen one of Steve's. But anyway, gender-specific language like manhole is now banned from city codes in Berkeley, California. I mean, this is how bad. If it wasn't plastic straws, now it's manholes. They're too manpowerish. Now it will become what they call the maintenance hole. I had a joke for that, but I better not. Anyway. On tonight's show, I'll first start with early Reaganism. And with that, I'm going to have Ken cue up my video clip number one on Noam Chomsky. It starts about 17 minutes into it, and I'm going to have him play for about 3 minutes there. But it's called The Right Turn. And this is more about where we've been led for years now, and it's what's causing the problems we have today. So, Kenneth, could you please play that?
Always been negative, increasingly so. What happened was that the costs of the war to our economy translated into gains for the economies of our enemies, Japan, Canada, Western Europe, and so on. That created a serious economic crisis. It meant that U.S. domination of the industrial world was beginning to erode. A number of steps were taken in response to this particular problem. One major step was an attack on labor, drive down wages, an attack on social programs to transfer resources towards the wealthy, towards the investors, and so on. All of this was in the interest of restoring profits and restoring the power of American business quite generally. And of course, that reflects an elite consensus. There's no central dispute over those matters within the sectors that provide planners and policymakers. So that's one class of problems, which leads straight to Reaganism. The second class of problems fall roughly under the category of discipline, and that has to do in part with the Third World. Again, partly because of the Vietnam War, but partly for other reasons, there was a lot of growing lack of discipline in the Third World. With the breakup of the Portuguese Empire, there were very dangerous steps towards independence, in its various components. There was ferment in Central America. There was a real threat that democracy might develop there. I'll come back to that. And all of these things had to be repressed. The lack of discipline in the Third World had to be stopped, and they had to be returned to what the Washington Post calls in Central America the Central American mode, meaning terror and torture states and so on. And this requires intervention, and intervention requires a jingoist consensus. And that brings us to the second problem of discipline, which is domestic. The population was out of control, dramatically so. The Vietnam War contributed to the politicization of the of American society. That is, it led to a crisis of democracy. In fact, Crisis of Democracy was the name of the very interesting book written by the Trilateral Commission, their one major publication. And remember that that's a grouping of liberal elites, the group around Carter, basically. And in this publication, which is very much worth reading carefully, they describe, it's in 1975, they describe the crisis of democracy. What happened in the 60s, in part because of the Vietnam War and so on, was that segments of the normally apathetic population became organized for political action and tried to enter the political arena. And that, of course, is intolerable, so that has to be stopped, and you got to figure out a way to reduce the public to their traditional apathy and passivity, and it's necessary to overcome the what they call the excesses of the press, which barely existed, but they were frightening, those tiny deviations from obedience, and it is necessary to control what they called the institutions responsible for the indoctrination of the young, meaning the universities and the schools and so on. And in general, it was necessary to overcome what is called the Vietnam Syndrome. The Vietnam Syndrome, that's a term, it's an interesting term. Syndrome is a disease of some kind. And this refers to the disease that large parts of the population, in fact, a large majority of the population, began to gain some insight into the way the world is working, expressed opposition to aggression and massacre and torture, and a degree of solidarity with their victims. And that's, of course, totally intolerable, just as the crisis of democracy is. And all of that had to be overcome and to restore a jingoist consensus in support of interventionist policies.
Okay. So what we see here is from Reagan's day came forth Oliver North and the Contras. And, of course, this is to rebuild the so-called American empire here from what was lost from what they called then allies. But Noam Chomsky goes into that a little bit before that, too, because Japan now, an occupied force of the United States after World War II, needed an economy since everything had been blown up over there. And so, therefore, Japan was a major arms producer for the Vietnam War. And that's how they started building up their economy. Just like here in America, where you always hear about arms sales. Billions of dollars in arms sales. Billions and billions and billions. Carl Sagan. But anyway, but as Noam Chomsky had just said there, it was about those who seek their own independence and their own democracy. And you'll hear that as the U.S. uses the term regime quite a lot. Say with Iran, Venezuela, Syria. These are all regimes. Or translated, these are actually governments that have been elected by their people democratically. Why, over in Iran, even the Jews have a part in parliament over there. They vote. But from the Los Angeles Times, the CIA has accused Russia, interfering in the 2016 presidential election. I wish I'd ever redact these stories here, but they don't. Or retract them, I guess. But anyway, by hacking the Democratic and Republican computer networks, which has all proven to be false. But critics might point out that the U.S. has done similar things. If anyone's watched John Perkins, The Economic Hitman, you would see, if you watch that video, you'd see exactly how this goes. But the article continues, the U.S. has a long history of attempting to influence presidential elections in other countries. It's done so in as many as 81 times between 1946 and the year 2000. According to a database amassed by the political scientist Don Levin of Carnegie Mellon University. And that article is in LA Times. So as Noam himself, which I've emailed quite a bit here over the years, he's a nice gentleman to talk to. He seems like he's a gatekeeper on some things, but other than that, he's generally honest on what U.S. foreign policy is and also domestic. But there was an awareness to the American people now waking up, and this started with the Vietnam protest. that Americans weren't, they were actually looking to the victims of U.S. aggression and actually siding with the oppression from the illegal U.S. wars being waged in their name. So with that, I have enough time for this clip here. So would you please play clip number two?
In your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe it was.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
All right. You'll remember he mentioned the NSC, that Oliver North worked for the NSC. And, of course, this spurs from the NSC 68, where the United States Objectives and Programs for National Security, better known as the NSC 68, was a 66-page top-secret National Security Council paper drafted by the Department of State and the Department of Defense, presented to President Harry S. Truman, later to become the Truman Doctrine, on April 7th of 1950. It was once the most important American policy statements of the Cold War. And this is where they went on to justify the massive amount of arms spending. At the time, it was $30 billion a year, and they wanted to triple that. And this was for this alleged Soviet threat. Now, we get into another portion of this, but let me see, I'm trying to think. I won't have time, so I'll have to kind of fill here. But the purpose of the NSC, we see that today. It's Turkey buying arms from Russia. It's Iran buying arms from Russia. It's the Philippines buying arms from Russia, Duterte down there, who is quoted as saying, the arms we buy from Russia don't have strings. And this is because whenever arms sales are made through the United States, the host company or country has to also accept these GMO food, grains, and stuff like that in order to qualify for their IMF loans to finance the arms. And the other portion of this was to, by design, was to drive, like Syria and others, into the hands of the Soviet, now Russia, to vindicate their massive propaganda as well as Pentagon spending budget for their eternal enemy, Satan, Russia. And of course we know from the tensions we see in the world today exactly where this is leading. Putin, as you know, is the peacemaker, the chess maker, or chess player, that whenever the U.S. wants to come out there and they want to do something, like with Syria, well, then Russia proposes that Syria just disarm, gets rid of all of its chemicals, and you can read this in all through the 2013 papers, that all of Syria's weapons, of course they use the word declared, but all of Syria's chemical weapons had been destroyed, and you can see all the photos of the U.S. and U.K. ships that went over there, and they secured all those things. There's even a picture of one down in the, I believe it's Houston Harbor, after returning from that. So they remove the so-called threat, and so then they send in their paramilitary groups, whether it's ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, or whatever ABC alphabet agency they want to use, and they stage all these fake chemical attacks. And then they highlight that, launching Tomahawk missiles, saying, oh, the children, the poor children. But they forgot about that at Waco, didn't they? We'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Perception Management.
The sun sinking low.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The sun sinking low in the west, and I know another day on the range is gone by. We'll bed down the strays we've been gathering all day for the Montana lullaby.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Perception Management here on RBN Networks. We have to kind of jump to another one here, that Muhammad Ali one. One nice thing to remember here is that, like Martin Luther King and Muhammad Ali, these were voices, as was mentioned, that spoke up for the little guy, that basically had no qualms with anyone and were tired of seeing the oppression on others. So, Kenneth, if you have that Muhammad Ali clip, please.
My conscience won't let me go shoot my brother or some darker people
some poor, hungry people in the mud for big, powerful America and shoot them for what? They never called me nigger. They never lynched me. They never put no dogs on me. They never robbed me of my nationality, raped and killed my mother and father. Well, I'm going to shoot them for what? How am I going to shoot them? Them little poor little black people, little babies and children and women. How can I shoot them poor people? I'll just take me to jail.
Ali more than held his own against students who had a far better formal education than he.
I'm saying you're talking about me about some draft, and all of you white boys are breaking your neck to get to Switzerland and Canada and London. I'm not going to help nobody get something my Negroes don't have. If I'm going to die, I'll die now right here fighting you. If I'm going to die, you my enemy. My enemy is the white people, not Viet Cong or Chinese or Japanese. You my opposer when I want freedom. You my opposer when I want justice. You my opposer when I want equality. You won't even stand up for me in America for my religious beliefs, and you want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here at home.
Okay. That was a setup for what's coming up soon here. I'll have to hold it to break because of the length of it. But what's coming up next is off of a two-hour video that I have hosted on my website. And it's a video not only from John Stockwell, who was a former CIA agent, who was the highest-ranking agent to ever leave the agency and go public. Others who have exposed secrets were those like Gary Webb, who was murdered, where he is well-documented about the CIA's drug trade. We have others like Ray McGovern, who former CIA, who worked with in the Russian field like that, has called an end to all this lies and stuff. And remember, these are guys that worked in these fields for years. And this is to promote this NSC 68 agenda. But this is where Americans have to realize that there has been a massive cover-up. And the crimes that this government and its allies, and I'll say UK and France is along with that, especially in Vietnam, and we see that also in Syria, no matter where you go, Germany's involved, and it all deals with this illicit arms trade, and most of this is all facilitated around arms and drugs, which, like Gary Webb had documented, and as John Stockwell will mention here shortly. This is where they have hooked 55 million Americans on their product. We have the Big Pharma, which I'll mention here in a minute, that has also done this. And this is a form of oppression to knock the little guy down so that they, in turn, can't rise up. And I think that's a main premise behind our internet today. Well, most of us will sit out here, we'll blog, we'll keyboard, we'll get on Twitter or some other Facebook, social media. The government knows that the people are waking up, and they're tired of these wrongful wars waged on other peoples. And so, like Muhammad Ali says, it wasn't just the whites that were oppressing him or his color or his religion. It was what was being done, and today for us, it's what's being done in our names. And you see that, as I mentioned, when you look at the amount of the military, both active and veterans, that are sadly committing suicide. They, too, are waking up to these illegal wars waged by aggression on other countries to steal their resources. Yes, it makes corporate America look good, except it's the same corporate America that has sold out your job as Mr. Elkins and others were talking about before. These were jobs that I remember, like Steve, where our first job, well, mine was $2.65 an hour, but it was a union job. We had full-time, full, you know, 40 hours a week. We had health care, dental, vacation, overtime pay, pregnancy leave, sick leave, all paid for by making sure that the employer took care of the employee. And today we have nothing but part-time jobs, always listed as job gains in the service sector, which have partially or zero benefits whatsoever. And I'd sent off a clip here earlier about the amount of stores that are actually now being demanded to pay $15 an hour. So what do they do? Well, we'll just go bankrupt. They don't want to pay the people. And this is where immigration comes in, because they'll just get someone else to do it. Like Donald Trump himself said, corporations need immigrants. It's because they don't want to pay the Americans something which is a livable wage. I myself, on Social Security, I get $906 a month. Try living on that for austerity. That's why people aren't buying things. Anyway, as well, my vehicle's been broken down for so long there. Anyway, I have a break coming up here, so I'm just stalling here. But so right after that, John Stockwell is going to talk about what the U.S. intervention has been, and this is all confirmed through the different oversight committees, to where a lot of this has been hidden from the American people. And this is why it's so important to know why we have immigration, war refugees, and others coming into this country. It's because of all these illegal wars being waged elsewhere. I had a friend on ham radio ask me once, he says, why do you think they're all coming to this country? I says, probably because it's the only country that hasn't been bombed yet. But we see this destruction here. We have 20 of the so-called Democrats that were alleged to be running, which were former CIA. This is a deliberate taking down of this country. We have tent cities that can be seen from space. Americans are crapping on the streets in San Francisco. Seattle is dying. Beautiful video on YouTube to watch. Or is it? In Texas, it's illegal to feed the homeless. They actually have armed citizens protecting Americans from the law enforcement because it's illegal to feed the homeless. They put spikes on under bridges, spikes on benches so that people can't sleep on them. I mean, is this the America that we all grew up into? And do I have my break coming up there, Kenneth? Okay, sorry. Okay, since we're going to keep going here, I'll have it go. Have Kenneth here play the portion of clip number 3 on John Stockwell.
We're all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. And whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. John Donne caught it years ago and placed it in graphic terms. No man is an island in time itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. And then he goes on toward the end to say, any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. Therefore, never sin to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
Intense and merciless.
That I oppose the war in Vietnam because I love America. I speak out against it not in anger but with anxiety and sorrow in my heart, and above all with a passionate desire to see our beloved country stand as the moral example of the world. I speak out against this war because I am disappointed with America. There can be no great disappointment where there is no great love.
Those who say to me, stick to civil rights, I have another answer. That is that I've fought too long and too hard now against segregated public accommodation to end up segregating my moral concern. I'm not going to do that. Others can do what they want to do. That's their business. Other civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration. That's their business. But I must say tonight that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
My expertise, as you know, is CIA, Marine Corps, three CIA secret wars. I had a position in the National Security Council in 1975 as the chief of the Angola task force running the secret war in Angola. It was the third CIA secret war I was part of. The national security law creating the National Security Council and the CIA, as you know, was passed in 1947. The CIA was given this charter to perform such other duties and function as might be necessary to the national security interest, and given a vague authority to protect its sources and method. And I think it was in the mid-80s that I coined this phrase, the Third World War, because in my research I realized that we were not attacking the Soviet Union and the CIA's activities. We were attacking people in the Third World. And I'm going to just quickly, in the interest of time, just give you a little sense of what that means, this Third World War. Basically, it's the third, I believe, in terms of loss of life and human destruction, the third bloodiest war in all of history. They undertake to run operations in every corner of the globe. They also undertook the license of operating just totally above and beyond U.S. laws. They had a license, if you will, to kill, but also they took that to a license to smuggle drugs, a license to do all kinds of things to other people in other societies in violation of international law, our law, and every principle of nations working together for a healthier and more peaceful world. Meanwhile, again, they battled to convert the U.S. legal system in such a way that it would give them control of our society. Now, we have massive documentation of what they call the secret wars of the CIA. We don't have to guess or speculate. We had the Church Committee investigate them in 1975, gave us our first really in-depth, powerful look inside this structure. Senator Church said in the 14 years before he did his investigation that he found they had run 900 major operations and 3,000 minor operations. And if you extrapolate that over the whole period of the 40-odd years that we've had a CIA, you come up with 3,000 major operations and over 10,000 minor operations, every one of them illegal, every one of them disruptive of the lives and societies of other peoples, and many of them bloody and gory beyond comprehension almost. Extensively, we manipulated and organized the overthrow of functioning constitutional democracies in other countries. We organized secret armies and directed them to fight in just about every continent in the world. We encouraged ethnic minorities to rise up and fight, people like the Mosquito Indians in Nicaragua, the Kurds in the Middle East, the Hmongs in Southeast Asia. We have organized, and we still do, and fund death squads in countries around the world, like the Treasury Police in El Salvador, which are responsible for most of the killing of the 50,000 people just in the 80s, and there was 70,000 before that. And orchestration, CIA secret teams, and propaganda led us directly into the Korean War. We were attacking China from the islands, Kaimoi, Matsu, Thailand, Tibet. A lot of drug trafficking involved in this, by the way, until eventually we convinced ourselves to fight the Chinese and Korean. We had the Korean War, and 1 million people were killed. Same thing for the Vietnam War, and we have extensive documentation of how the CIA was involved at every level, or the national security complex, because it's a very cooperative thing, into manipulating the nation into the Vietnam War. And we wound up creating the Golden Triangle, in which the CIA, Air America airplanes, were flying in arms to our allies and flying back out with the heroin. We launched the largest, this is something that Jimmy Carter did, Admiral Turner brags about it, the operation in Afghanistan, biggest single operation, I'm told, in the history of the CIA's secret wars. And sure enough, very quickly we produced the Golden Crescent, which is still the largest source of heroin perhaps in the world today. Trying to summarize this Third World War that the CIA, the U.S. National Security Complex, with the military all interwoven in it in many different ways, has been waging. Let me just put it this way. The best heads that I coordinate with studying this thing, we count at least minimum figure 6 million people who've been killed in this long 40-year war that we've waged against the people of the Third World. These are not Soviets. We have not been parachuting teams into the Soviet Union to kill and hurt and maim people, especially not since 1954 when they developed actually a capability of dropping atomic weapons on the United States. They aren't British, French, Swedes, Swiss, Belgians. We don't do bloody, gory operations in the countries of Europe. These are all people of the Third World. They're people of countries like the Congo, Vietnam, Kampuchea, Indonesia, Nicaragua, where conspicuously they nor their governments do not have the capability of doing any physical hurt to the United States. They don't have ICBMs. They don't have armies or navies. They could not hurt us if they wanted to. There has rarely been any evidence that they really wanted to. And that, in fact, is perhaps the whole point. If they had had ICBMs, we probably wouldn't have done the things to them for fear of retaliation. Cheap shots, if you will, killing people of other countries of the world who cannot defend themselves under the guise of secrecy and under the rubric of national security.
Okay. There you have it from the CIA themselves about what has been done in our names. And this is where I mentioned earlier, where it comes to the crux of tonight's show, that there are those who have lived through oppression, oppression which is defined as a prolonged cruel or unjust treatment or control, a region shattered by oppression and killing, words such as persecution, abuse, maltreatment, ill-treatment, tyranny, despotism, repression, suppression, subjection, enslavement, exploitation, and cruelty. Right now, the legislation seeks to address the fundamental injustices here in America, the cruelty, the brutality, the inhumanity of slavery in the United States, and of the 13 American colonies between 1619 and 1865, and to establish a commission to study and consider a national apology or proposal for reparations for the institutions of slavery, its subsequent de jure and de facto racial and economic discrimination against African Americans. This is what we're seeing today, inasmuch as what we see throughout the war on the Third World. So, I think I have time, so if you could play the rest of that clip there, Kenneth, please.
What you saw in the Iran-Contra hearings was the exposure of the beginnings of a national security state which believes it has the right to override the Constitution of the United States in the name of security.
I think that there was a substantial shadow government trying to run foreign affairs for the United States.
In any other country, it would have been called a coup. And they seem to have gotten away with it.
Modern-day pirates, these guys, they have escaped essentially the control of national governments, but they're available for use by national governments. Sometimes they move under color of, and defend themselves as advancing U.S. national interests in this. But I think that's very secondary with these guys. They're out to make a buck.
I did do it. I am not, as I said in my statement, at all ashamed of any of the things that I did. I was given a mission, and I tried to carry it out.
The Iran-Contra hearings, convened in May 1987 by a special joint committee of the United States Congress to investigate the sale of U.S. weapons to Iran and the illegal diversion of money to the Contras. Often, the official explanation seemed inadequate and contradictory.
Our government has a firm policy not to capitulate to terrorist demands, that no concessions policy remains in force, in spite of the wildly speculative and false stories about arms for hostages and alleged ransom payments. We did not trade weapons or anything else for hostages, nor will we.
Despite Reagan's denials, investigations soon revealed that arms had been traded for hostages held in the Mideast.
A few months ago, I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and the evidence tell me it is not.
Only days later, it was further revealed that the arms to Iran had been severely marked up. Some of the profits had been illegally diverted to support the Contras, a guerrilla force organized by the CIA fighting the Nicaraguan government. The Reagan administration had a major scandal on its hands. The use of U.S. government money for supporting the overthrow of the Nicaraguan government was specifically prohibited when Congress enacted the Boland Amendment in 1984. Even though it remained in effect until 1986, millions of dollars in profits from Iranian arms sales were secretly diverted to the Contras during this period through contacts with middlemen such as Moniker Gobanifar. Did these hearings uncover the full story behind the Contragate scandal? Or was it merely an attempt to keep the real truth hidden from public view? Peter Dale Scott, professor at the University of California at Berkeley, has conducted extensive research on covert action and CIA activities. The results are detailed in his book, The Iran-Contra Connection.
I think the real issue was that both the administration and the majority of the people in the committees were frightened that the real scandals, the drug scandals, for example, would really threaten any future conduct of covert operations on the scale that they had been handled in the past. And so they were trying very deliberately to limit the damage. This was damage control.
And so they were pulling their punches on all the major questions and issues of what really happened in this thing, what the CIA's role was. Anytime they got into anything that was really sensitive about exactly that, exactly what the CIA's role was and exactly what laws were broken and when, they went into secret session.
There was a lot of talk during the hearings about covert operations, national security, the necessity of secrecy in conducting foreign policy. But some experts claim that covert action does not work in the interest of the U.S. national security, nor does it create a more stable world.
To think of the democratic governments that have been overthrown in the last 30 years by military coups is almost like giving a capsule history of CIA covert operations in the last 30 years. I mean, there was the overthrow of Prime Minister Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. There was the overthrow of Arbenz in Guatemala in 1954. There was the overthrow of the Brazilian government in 1964. There was the overthrow of the Ghana government in 1966. A lot of the governments I've just mentioned got into trouble with the international oil companies because they tried to assert their national prerogatives over their own resources. Time after time, the CIA has come in on behalf of those multinational companies.
All right, so Kenneth, you can go ahead and kill it there. So, thanks, Kenneth. Anyone knows today that there are those that should stand up, but haven't. The real heroes are those of the former military who have stood up against the empire. They've thrown their medals. They realize what's going on. Just as much as you see the photos that go across the internet that I'm not going to be Al-Qaeda's Air Force and stuff. The soldiers of America are waking up, as well as the Americans themselves. And that's why the censorship, as well as this deal with WikiLeaks and others that expose state secrets, are being prosecuted and or tortured today. Many have been forced into this position of waging wars, and sadly, the outcome of that, as mentioned earlier, was the active duty and veterans who daily commit suicide, which is for these wars of aggression that have been no benefit for this country or its people, as well as the Stockwell admitted that none of these countries could attack us anyway. And anyone's free to read where the FBI is behind all domestic terrorism in the New York Times, the Guardian. They have to keep Americans in constant fear to promote their war agenda. So now we're faced, after all these years of decades of illegal wars, the ATF's fast and furious arms, the DHS cutting deals with the drug cartels, the banks who laundered hundreds of billions of dollars in cartel monies, as well as those same banks who got small fines, and then those monies were in bailouts with your tax dollars. And then there's Big Pharma, who's killed more Americans with their toxic drugs and created opiate epidemics for their profits, as well as, like, El Chapo's in the news lately. His man cave had those same fast and furious weapons in it. Today, that has resulted in 55 million Americans that are hooked on their product. More deaths domestically than any alleged enemy that the government says is your enemy. We'll be right back, and I have a final clip for you here. So stay tuned. You're listening to Reception Management.
Fingers crossed, everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor. The rich get rich, that's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Some folks go out dancing. It seems to be their thing.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm running out of time here, so. Anyway, and I need that next video keyed up there. But, you know, what gets me is the amount of racism I hear today, which is actually being stirred by those internal portions. We have gang members that have implicated the U.S. government in dumping crates of guns in Chicago. And this whole thing is a fact that as long as we are fighting amongst ourselves, it allows the shadow government to enact more laws, take more rights of our guns and from law-abiding citizens, you know, and also regulate ammo purchases. We've seen what they just did in New Zealand, have a shooting at a mosque, and within days pass laws to start turning in their guns. So, again, about racism, whether it's Muhammad Ali or Martin Luther King or Pastor Wright, would you play that one, please? You didn't get it, huh? I didn't see your calls here. Yeah, it was in the list there. Well, I'll tell you what. Forget it, Ken. Pastor Wright goes on to talk about why he said goddamn America, which was a quote from a white man. But this is the oppression other people feel from the U.S. wars led abroad. And now, as that white person said, which Pastor Wright had quoted, America's chickens have come home to roost. We see this through immigration, the massive amount of people from Africa, all these countries, America's chickens are coming home to roost. And, of course, they like the voters. Sorry about the timing here. We still got Chance in West Virginia? Okay, Chance, pop in there. Okay, Chance, good evening. Yeah. No. Okay, Mark in Florida, are you there?
Yeah, Keith, I just wanted to say, take you back 50 years, man, you are heavy tonight, and thank you very much.
Well, you know, Mark, I am tired of the lies. I have seen too many of my veteran friends loaded up on SSRI. Remember, I came out of Las Vegas from in the 70s where everyone was coming out of Vietnam and stuff. I used to watch my best friend get beat up by his brothers daily. He'd stay the night at our house, and when he'd get undressed for bed there, it's just a bruise after bruise like that. This is what war does, and when they can't take it out on other people, they take it out on their own.
That's absolutely true, and tonight is just a great truth you've brought forward, and I thank you very much.
I figured I'd be hated for it, because Americans don't like to see their filth at times, and you know what? I don't blame Americans themselves, because they've been lied to. For decades, they have been lied to.
Well, from the day we was born, and we're trying to unravel it, and RBN does such a great job. Thank you, Keith.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in there, Mark. Okay. Anyway, again, you're all being played. You know, let the whites blame the blacks. Let Antifa run wild. The police break down. The whole fake war on drugs, you're all being played. Anyway, good evening from RBN. I'm not sure who's up next there, but catch you next week there. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll chat later.
I've been awake, and now I'm going home to stay. Your sky of blue, Montana, calls me to you, Montana.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the